World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning here on September 25th, 2024, the birth date of my daughter, of our oldest daughter, Abby. How old is she at, Michelle? I don't know. I think she's like 42, maybe. What a wonderful young lady she is, mother. It's hard to believe it, you have a child could be 42. Is that right? Nah. She ain't that old, is she, Michelle? She'll yell at me here in a second. However old she is, happy birthday, Abby. And had a little birthday party here last night. Got me all kind of discombobulated. Thank you, Matt, Michelle. 41. She's 41. And we had a birthday party here last night. Now all of a sudden, I woke up this morning, and I think it's either Saturday or Sunday, because that's normally when we have family get-togethers. But we had one last night. So if I a little bit off kilter today, that would be the reason why. Our buddy OJ. You guys, OJ is in intensive care. OJ Eastwood has two blood clots in his lungs. Lungs, I don't know, whatever, in intensive care. As far as I know, not like a heart attack or anything like that, but we need to pray for OJ and Dorita that he would be healed. And I asked some people even here before the show, maybe some of you would fast for OJ, that the hand of the doctors would be guided and he'd come out of there well. So put OJ on your prayer list. Bill Dunphy, of course, Paul Goslin. Oh my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. We're in a war. We are really, really in a war. You know, let me, this is kind of self-serving, but I feel like the unction to do it. I want you guys to know this. I'm the most optimistic guy that there is. I'm not a doom and gloom guy. Really, if you hang around with me, I can laugh. I just have a heavy heart. When I look out and see everything that's going on and I understand that, friends, who do you think is going to fix this? Where you're sitting right now, do you really believe that the election of Donald Trump's going to turn all this around? Really? You know, the Holy Spirit just prompted me, Spencer, pull up for me Psalm, and I just pulled it up here. Psalm 12. The Holy Spirit just gave me this. Just one scripture out of it. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaketh proud things. Who hath said, with our tongue we will prevail? Our lips, our own. Who's Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. I don't know if you know this or not. The Bible's a book of victory. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. What is? That's pretty purified, isn't it? Words of the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure, tried in a furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. Isn't that a something? We're in the midst of a generation, maybe two generations, right? I'm going to tell you something, though. My children's generation are so profoundly lost, and it's the fruit of a profoundly silent, uninvolved church. It's the fruit of it. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then here's where the Holy Spirit punched me in the chest this morning. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. I've been watching really closely over the last few days what's going on with Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever you call him. The arrest of Puff Daddy, P. Diddy. And the connections to the people whom Puff Daddy is associated with. Now, he's in jail. He's locked up in federal prison, which tells me a couple things. Number one, there must be some good guys someplace. There must be. But do you have any idea the powerful money and resources that are now going to go to work to do everything they can to hide what Puff Daddy did? Beyonce. Hey, folks, I don't know how closely you've been following it. I've been kind of consumed with it the last couple of days, to be honest with you, to see how deep down the rabbit hole this perversion and power goes. Because the wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Look at our heroes. Look at the heroes. Look at the people that we even point our children to be like. I could run down a list. In fact, I'm going to do something right now. I want to hear from you. Just go ahead and spout off vilest men and women who are being exalted. I'll just wait.
LeBron James.
Just keep going.
Hope. Beth Hansberry.
Come on, I want to hear from you. Come on.
Bill Gates. Klaus Schwab.
Kamala Harris. Keep going. Come on. Come on.
Jim Jordan.
Keep going.
Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Nancy Pelosi.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Barack and Michael.
Mike Pence.
Come on. We haven't got into the music industry yet or sports yet. Come on.
How about our pastors?
Ooh, Betty, be careful. Be careful. What does it
Jim
say?
Jim Harbaugh.
The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. Right? And see, here's the problem. There is no consequence to the vilest men being exalted. Why? Because the vilest men are in positions of authority. They protect each other. They lock up J6ers. Can anybody say Merrick Garland is one of those vilest men? Can anybody
Anthony Fauci?
Huh? Fauci? Can you name people? Look, I'm talking about people in positions of authority. Positions of authority. How do these people get in positions of authority? How does
Dr.
that happen?
Francis Collins.
Some people don't even know who he is. Francis Collins. Bill Gates. You don't think Bill Gates has power? Authority? Yeah, Vinny. Maybe it is Freemasonry. I think probably at the roots of that. But, you know, the reality of it is, it's all happened because why? Good people will not get involved. We're to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Reggie Walton.
Say it again. Reggie Walton. I got that one, Jeff. Reggie Walton. Have you guys noticed this? I did because I lived this life when I was a football coach. I hired my own coaching staff. I always wanted to, because first and foremost, I had to hire a coach who was loyal to me, that I knew in the coaching circles how difficult it is once things begin to go bad in the program. Once you start losing, you would be amazed at the number of enemies that come out. They're mad because their kid didn't get to play, or they're mad because they're friends with their neighbor and his kid didn't get to play. And there's just all kinds of reasons why when you lose, the boo birds come out. So it's extremely important that you surround yourself with people you can trust. So when the wicked walk on every side, who do they put their trust in? They put vile men. They trust in vile men. Now, I don't want to say this because I really don't know, but it isn't looking very good for T.D. Jakes. I don't know. You know, I don't know what. I don't know. Why would T.D. Jakes ever be friends with Puff Daddy? Can somebody explain that to me? Why would a man of God ever want his picture taken with Puff Daddy? I don't know. I'm not. Maybe T.D. Jakes is praying for him. I hope that he is. But it would seem to me that T.D. Jakes ought to be calling out Puff Daddy. Wouldn't anybody think that that would be the way it would go? That T.D. Jakes would be exposing to Black America this man and how vile and wicked he is, right? And now we have Taylor Swift, Taylor Swift, and young girls wanting to be like Taylor Swift, 35 years old, unmarried. You want to be like her? I watched my daughters yesterday. All 10 of our grandchildren were here. All 10 of them. God, I'm such a blessed man. Thank you, Lord. All 10 of them there. And I watch what powerful women of God. I'm not bragging, okay? Just telling you the truth. How our daughters are instilling Christian values in their own children. It's remarkable to watch.
Amen.
And to think what they are battling every day, like Reese, our oldest granddaughter, she's playing volleyball. She's homeschooled. She's playing volleyball in a public school. You're allowed to do that. And our daughter said to me last night, Abby said to me last night, "Boy, I don't know, just the influences. When she goes to play volleyball with those who aren't homeschooled, the things that she's up against, that the mother is up against. Why? Because one of the most dangerous places in America is your church's youth group. Do you understand that, friends? You think it's safe? Do you understand who's being exalted to those young kids, those 13 and 14-year-old girls who are on the internet? Do you have any idea? What's being exalted? Is motherhood being exalted? Oh my goodness. If they could take, I'm not bragging, I'm just making an example, okay? Because some of you could say the same thing, you're just not here. If they could have my daughters as a model of motherhood rather than Taylor Swift, we can't, because why? The wicked are walking on every side. Why? The vilest of men and women are exalted. This stuff pointed out, and me, it always goes back to the church, right? It always goes back to the church. Do we point this out? I've told you before, I can't jump on my Facebook page without vile things popping up. Vile things. Vile things. So where did that come from? How did that get there? Oh, man. Oh, how did that get into my feed, right? And if I'm fighting against that as a 70, however old I am, 71-year-old man, what the heck? What are the values that we're teaching to our daughters? Who are their role models? And I want to be like Mike. Remember that, Michael Jordan? I think maybe he hung out with Diddy and those guys. Look, I'm not here to try to make anybody feel bad or make anybody feel guilty. I think we're at a crossroads. We are either going to evacuate or engage. We really don't have much choice. I watched my little grandson Declan last night running around with his sisters playing out in the yard. He is so innocent. Rush Limbaugh called it a mind full of mush, just ready to be molded. what the culture is going to give him. And we have in America today an entire, we can't even protect unborn children. What? How did the church become so weak that we can't stop baby murder? What happened? How did that happen to us? How did we become so weak? I was talking to Jeff Nares yesterday, and he went down to Lancaster, Ohio for that city council meeting the other night over the drag queen show that went on in conservative little Lancaster. And Jeff told me, I'm not talking out of class here. He saw how organized the enemy is. That when they showed up at the city council meeting and they walked in the door, the meeting starts at 7 o'clock, I'd say, and they walk in at a quarter of to, they wanna make their 2 minute comment. They walk in there and the list to speak is already, it's already got 100 people on it. I'm making up a number, but already got a bunch of people on it. Why? Because the enemy knows how the game should play. They show up early and they get on the list. And they make it look to the city council like, oh, the community is for these homos. Do you get it? Do you get it? And we don't understand it. And I ask him how many pastors showed up to speak. He said, well, might have been a couple. I don't know. And yeah, Mel, the Fairfield conservatives, whatever, they don't even know how the game's played. Get there early, sign up. Because all the wicked men walking on every side, they showed up, and they called them racist and bigot and homophobe and planted that crap in the mind of the city council, and the city council sitting there, and they're probably looking out in the crowd, and they're trying to figure out if there are any good people. And anybody in there that supports them, oh, they personally think maybe drag queen story hour shouldn't be in the schools. Yeah, they think that, but they're looking around. Is there anybody out there that supports me? Oh, we're praying for you. Oh, great. Yeah, did you show up? I should have gone. I couldn't get away. We had plumbing issues. It wouldn't have mattered. I'd have had 3 minutes. I'd have stood up and called it out for exactly what it was. You know what I would have said had I had the chance? These people sitting over here with the purple hair, these people over here dressing, looking like that, huh? City council. These people are perverted. They're perverted. Now, you can listen to them if you want to. They can huff and they can puff and they can make all the noise they want to. Talk about their rights and all that kind of stuff. But sirs and madams, I want you to know this. These people are perverted.
Amen.
Not only are they perverted, they're after your children and they're after my children. Now, they can talk all they want to about their freedoms and their liberties and yada, 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 yada. But you do understand that pedophiles recruit and they're after our children. You do understand that, right? Are they good people? Are they nice people? I don't know. I don't know about that. But I do know this. They are after our children. And you have the duty to stand up and protect our children from this perversion. And this is perversion. Homosex is perversion. Sorry. Transgenderism is perversion. I'm sorry these people are trapped in that, but we cannot let them have access to our children. Now, how, huh? And they would boo and hiss. But people won't go and say that. They won't go and say that because why? We want to be nicer than Jesus. We want to show up and speak the truth and not offend. Well, we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We believe in their right to live their lives as they want to. We believe in that. Well, why do you believe in that? Well, because, you know, the Constitution gives us the right to, no. The Constitution gives you inalienable rights. There's no inalienable right to do wrong. You don't have the right to do wrong. No, you're reading the Constitution wrong. You have an inalienable right, not an inalienable wrong. We don't even know how to fight yet. We don't even know how to fight. And I know this, if I'd have shown up, I wasn't afraid. If I'd have shown up and I'd have said what I just said, oh my goodness, there'd already be stuff down at the end of my driveway. There'd be stuff stuck in my driveway and they'd come after me full force and they would go into deep into my background. Come on, you know that's how it is, right? There's going to be casualties in war, baby. Going to be casualties in war. And we will not fight a war if we don't think we can win it. And I believe that we're in a place right now in America where we don't think we can win it. By the way, Spencer, put the rest of Psalm 12 up there. Because the wicked do walk on every side. Is that the end of it? Is that the, yeah, that's the end of it. Hmm? The wicked are walking on every side. Not only are they walking on every side, they have taken over the sidewalk. That's what we're seeing with Puff Daddy and P. Diddy and all those guys, right? Huh? I pray that T.D. Jakes is not involved in it. I pray it. I do. That guy's done a lot of really, really, really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Really. I pray it's not true. But we're seeing all across America the failing and the falling of Christian leadership. It's just, I don't know if you've noticed this. When I get on this show, there's a tremendous anointing on me. Do you know something? I'm under attack all the time, just like the rest of you are. All the time. Because boy, if they could get me to fall, what would happen to all you guys? Because the Bible tells us, if you smite the shepherd, the sheep will scatter. And see, we become whack-a-mole. You stick your head up, whack! When you stick your head up and then you get whacked, you lose your friends. Yeah, would you guys want me to, would you guys like me to make a list for you of all the sins I did before I got saved? Would you like me to make a list? Because there's some stuff on that list I'm not proud of. You might want to see Michelle's list. My wife, I wonder what her list was like before she got saved, right? But see, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I. Christ lives within me. The life I live by the grace of the Son of God who died for me. And they can throw all my past up into me and say, yeah, you know what? That guy's dead. I knew him too. He was a scoundrel, but that guy's dead. That guy's dead. Sometimes the greatest testimony that you can give is to be thrown into the fire and rise up and say, yeah, that guy's dead. Yeah, I did that, but that guy's dead. I'm dead to that guy. Going to be casualties in this war. Going to be casualties. We're in a war, man. And they're after your kids. And they're after your grandkids. They're after everything righteous. They own everything. Our churches raise. pull this up for me real quickly, Spencer. I'm not picking on anybody. Okay? Please. Net worth of Joel Osteen. Pull that up. See if it tells us. 43 million? No. His net worth is 50 million. His church takes in 43 million a year. Wonder how that money's being used. What about Rick Warren? How much money is Rick Warren to? He's not as famous as he used to be. He's not as popular as he used to be. Rick Warren, how much is he worth? Oh, he's gone broke. He's only worth $25 million. What about Jesse Duplantis? Jesse Duplantis, is he worth any money at all, I wonder? See, the celebrity rich pastor, is he worth anything? Jesse Duplantis, oh, he's only got $20 million. We got to send him some more offerings.
Kenneth Copeland.
Yeah, Kenneth Copeland. What's Kenneth Copeland? We need to send him some offerings, right? He's the wealthiest pastor. He's the wealthiest, it says here. And he has a $7 million, $300 million.
How about his minion, Gary Cassie?
I don't know if it'll be up there. Gary Cassie.
Amen. Amen.
K-E-K. K-E. K-E. S-E-E. I don't know if it'll be up there. I don't know. A lot. Worth a lot. Worth a lot. All right? Now, I don't look.
So you know, Copeland did come into his church and said that Gary Cassie is going to be the one taking over the entire KCM ministry.
Taking over what?
Was the one who would be taking over the entire KCM ministry going forward.
Wow. Well, good. Good for Gary. I hope he, what's the point I'm making? Benny Hinn, $60 million. Folks, look, I'm going to tell you something. There's no shortage of Christian dollars. There's no shortage of Christian dollars. And I'm telling you over and over and over and over again. This is me, okay? Listen, I don't care. You do what you want. The hook of tithing, you giving 10% to that place that you go. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there'll be meat in my house. The purpose of the tithe, if there is a tithe, is to help feed the needy. But see, the church figured something out pretty early. Let's let the government take care of all that. And then we'll bring in tithes and offerings and we'll build bigger churches. Campuses. Let's do that. We'll do campuses. And then we'll build big TV screens and music and flashy lights and padded pews and carpet. Yeah, that's the ticket. Oh, the needy, the poor. Well, they can go to the welfare office. Right? They can go to the well. I'm just telling you the truth.
Boom.
That's the mess that we're in, friends. That's the mess that we're in. There's no shortage. There are more dollars in American Christianity today than any time in American history. Hang on a second. Hey, Spence, you still there? And you get up and walked away from me. That's all right. How much money has Kamala Harris raised? Now, I understand politics requires money. I get it. How much has she raised so far? Trump's only reported, poor Trump. Harris has raised $81 million. There's no shortage of money, friends. So $81 million. Well, I'm sorry. Harris outraises Trump by nearly $150 million. I wonder if those people who are contributing to Harris and to Trump are expecting anything in return. Biden Harris, boy, Spence is going crazy on me now. Campaign raised $678 million. Trump only raised $309 million. It's amazing, isn't it? Come on in, Roger.
Oh, I was just going to you learned so much over the last few years I'm here, and you think about how church has been run for the last 30 years. Just kind of take a look at it in your mind, and praise teams and get mercy ministry and all that stuff. And then you ask the question, and we've asked it on the show, and it's an easy question for conversation with a pastor or a deacon is, how tell me the influence areas in our culture, in our schools, and our government, where Christianity, reigns, where it's in charge, where it's in control. Tell me the last 30 years of church, how it's been done. How are we doing? Mm. And Dave, we control nothing, We control nothing in the culture. We control very little, if nothing, in the school system and local government. So it's not working. The last 30, 35 years of how church has been run, it is not working. It's an easy question to pose before your pastor, locally or nationally.
So the question would be then, what has happened? At what point, don't tell me 501c3, please don't say that. At what point did Christianity be about the accumulation of large amounts of money in the hands of celebrities? At what point did that? So Jesse Duplantis down there, maybe you can pull back up. How many Christian schools could Jesse Duplantis fund Just him. Christian schools. And, by the way, Jesse, you could maybe pay the teachers, although you wouldn't have to. You might be able to find some volunteers who would be able to do that. 550 million, 20 million, 50 million, 50 million. I don't know.
Well, it's just, and it's Dave, it's such a simple question to ask church leaders. Okay.
Yep.
The last 30 years we've been doing church this way. Show me the results. Show me our influence in the culture, not just the influence of salvation, but the influence in the culture to protect not only our children, but the innocence of all children. You know, how are we doing?
You know,
Roger, it's a resounding bad.
D minus, D plus,
you know, it's bad. Hey,
Roger, go ask your pastor this. All of you out there, go ask your pastor this. Hey, pastor, how many of our families are homeschools? Do you think he knows? And why, pastor, aren't you starting an education program at your school to rescue those children out of the hands of evil men who walk on every side because the vilest of men are being exalted? What are you doing to counter that, pastor? We'll say, well, coach, I would love to do it, but I don't have a big enough church. We don't have enough people to fund one. Oh, really? You have a car? You have a cell phone? Could you call another pastor and see if maybe he'd want to go together with you on starting a homeschool co-op in your church? There's no creativity. Zero creativity. Women, an outlay. Well, there's all kinds of creative ways to have money come in. What are creative ways I could use that money to impact the culture other than padded pews, special smoke machines, more staff? What's the way that we here could really, how about some of those rich people, rich retired people that Jesse Duplantis has in there? What if we got to instead of telling them, hey, listen, please, don't tithe your $100,000 this year to us here at the church. That's nice. We would like you to pledge your $100,000 to our Christian school. Would you do that? What do you think the chances of that happening are? So the problem is, it's us. Come on in, Joanne.
I think most of our problem in churches is because the men have left. They get feminized, yep. And they no longer attend. If the men took their role as a leader in the family, in the church, we wouldn't have half the problems that we are faced.
No kidding. And I wonder how many pastors see the men's ministry as crucial. Now, wait a minute. Not just sausage and pancakes on Saturday morning. So it's where we are. I've met the enemy, it's me. Met the enemy, it's us. Christianity. They print money every day. They're giving money to illegal immigrants. Friends, it's not that the government doesn't have money. It's where the money is being spent. What was that again? Psalm 12, verse 8. Okay, what's that say? The wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are funded. Boy, if we can just get those Republicans in there. Just get Trump in there. Man, we just get Trump in there. P.S., come on in.
Hey, Dave, it's been a while.
Yep.
You haven't had a debate on the Trump issue lately. It's down to one issue for me. A million people being murdered in Ukraine.
Yeah. Well, it's I got a lot of issues. I got a lot of issues, to be honest with you. Look, I hear Christians say, I'm either going to vote third party or I'm going to vote, not going to vote. I hear it from a lot of Christians. And neither one of those will help. Neither one of those will help. And in all of our lives, in many different directions, we are forced to choose the lesser of two evils. Happens to us all the time. I am in with every fiber of my body against Obama, Clinton, and that cabal. I know how wicked that is. Does Trump have his own cabal? I don't know. Friend, are you looking at me, friends? How long has Barack Obama been president? How long has he been president? Come on now. Come on now. I'm against that. I'm against that fundamentally transforming America stuff. I'm against that. So I'm voting against that, and I'm not voting for a third party or staying home because Trump stinks too much. My targets are on that. I'm getting rid of that, and then I'll take care of that. Because, look, it ain't the White House anyway, dudes. It's right there at your house and your schoolhouse and your church house. That's where all the mess is going on. And I don't care who you put in the White House. It ain't going to change. But I'm giving an open rebuke to that mess that wants to murder babies. Go ahead.
I was just going to say the church isn't even anti-war anymore because they won't vote for the guy that doesn't want war. It makes no sense.
It does because it's the programming, right? It's the programming. Vile friends, do you guys out there, do you trust Fox News? Do any of you out there trust Fox News? And that would be the closest thing that we would have to the getting the truth. Or say, no, coach. Yeah, Steve Bannon's out. Yeah, but he's minute. Alex Jones, yeah, but they're suing him again. In fact, Alex Jones, he has to liquidate to pay that wicked judgment. He has to liquidate. So they own it all. Puff Daddy and those guys, they own it all. Come on, they own Bill O'Reilly. There's certain things Bill O'Reilly can't say. They own them. And the game is that if we vote for the Republican, then it'll stop. No, it won't stop. It'll be just a passing of the baton from one power to the other power. The only power is Christ and him crucified. And the church won't even stand up and act like that's important in the culture. Yeah, King James, I think he was a homo from what I just saw yesterday about him. Yeah, they just publicly bought. That's right. They forced Alex Jones. They're destroying it. They're destroying it, right? How many of you went to church this week? Or maybe we'll do this one. See how many of your church, your pastors at your church, mentioned Bill Dunphy. See how many do. They don't care. They think you deserved it. P.S. Your hand's still up.
Oh, sorry, I apologize.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Wow. Okay. Look, I hear you, Michelle, because she's going to say, honey, you say the same thing every day. I know I do. I try not to. I try not to. Johnny, come on in.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, how many?
Johnny, hang on a second. See, we want to hand over America to the United Nations. You know that's going on, don't you, friends? Huh? How long have we been fighting that beast? Go ahead, Johnny.
How many pastors don't even know who Bill Dunphy is?
Yeah, that's
or that whole cause down there. I talk about it to people, and they're in the clouds. People don't know. People are not in touch with what we're in touch with, not to make us better, but we're living in a world of denial, and it's encroaching upon us more and more and more, and there will be no escape. The truth is the escape, and that's Christ. We have to come to Christ.
That's right.
Because we're going to be forced there. So you're going to do it now or are you going to wait? What are you going to do?
Jesus is the way, the truth. Folks, anytime you cower in fear of speaking the truth, you deny Jesus. You understand that? He's embodied in truth. And how many times in your life do you find yourself a part of a whatever, a church gathering, some type of gathering where you don't speak the truth because you don't want to offend? You don't have to say amen. You can raise your hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. And all that is a denial of truth. And who's the truth? But Bible says they're going to be hated of all men. Pull up number 8 for me real quick. Michelle, I'm getting on that horse again. Same one I rode yesterday. 10 reasons people like weak pastors. Huh? This is great. This is
hey,
great.
Hey, Coach. I'm on my phone. I don't know. This might be a good place for me to sneak in.
Go ahead.
I've had my hand up. Coach, you know what? This is the deal. Johnny made this very clear with his statement there. You do say the same things over and over. But look, Coach, that's part of learning, repetition, okay? But here, look at it like this, Coach. We are prepared. We should be loaded and ready to go as far as our speaking, doing, helping, ministering and all those things. We should, of all people, this little group should be ready to go. Okay.
Amen.
Because church, Coach, when this thing hits the fan, and that's just about to.
Randy, it's busted out.
They're gonna beg for someone to tell them the truth. They're gonna beg for someone to show them the truth. They're gonna beg for help. The church is lost its way, Coach. The one we knew.
Gotta serve somebody,
if
don't
we're
you,
not
Randy?
Ready.
There
yes,
is
sir.
Folks, there is no such thing as a neutral position. No such thing as neutral. On issues of right and wrong, on morality, neutral is not a position. Neutral. Because what? What is neutral? Neutral does not propel the car. If you have a car and you put it in neutral, then you are sitting in the car waiting for some pressure on the outside to direct where you're going to go. That's all neutral does. You cannot remain neutral. You can't. You can't. 10 reasons. Number one, they don't say anything embarrassing. Scroll down, Spence, as we go here. I'll put in a chat. It says, relax, you never have to worry about your pastor bringing up sin in the Old Testament. The messages are all about love and tolerance. Number two, they don't say anything convicting. Who are we talking about here? Weak pastors. Weak pastors. Tired of feeling bad at church because you continually ignore God and his word? Well, don't worry about it anymore. The pastor won't bring any of that up. Number three, they don't say anything definitely. Say it with me. This is a nuanced issue. Well, Coach, there are two sides to this, Coach. The last thing people need in an age of confusion is clarity. What we need to hear is that everything, even remotely contentious, is neither black nor white, but shades of gray, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Number four, they don't have to worry. What are we looking at here again? Why are we looking at why pastors are weak? They don't have to worry when they tell non-Christian friends where they go to church. Oh, you listen to that, Coach? What? No wonder you're so freaking radical. You listening to that guy? Yeah. They have to explain it to their friends. Number five, they can relax when they make their woke college-age kid go to church with them the one weekend that he or she comes home. Wow. Why are pastors weak? There are zero expectations that anything said on Sunday needs to be remembered or acted upon once service ends. Vinny, double boom on that one.
Double boom
on that one. You don't actually mean this stuff, right? You preached. I attended. We've done our part. On with the day. Good church is one that doesn't impact anything more than 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. Boom! What are we doing here? Why pastors a week? Because you get to learn a whole new version of the Bible. Yeah, you get a different perspective on Jesus than you ever knew was in there. He loves everybody. He's non-judgmental. Who are you to judge? Walk like an Egyptian. Where's Steve Miller? What's Steve Miller? That name? Walk like an Egyptian. Where is he? Number 8. You can feel like a Christian without ever having to submit to Christ. After all, the Bible does say he who keeps his life finds his life and makes Jesus fit into his life. See, that's what's going on in church. Number 9. What are we doing? Why are pastors weak? Because you can vote for any baby killing, child transing, freedom stealing, corrupt politician you want and don't have to worry about whether it's right or wrong. Nobody will ever convict you or make you feel bad about it. No pastor will ever stand up and say, if you're voting for a pro-murder candidate, I would like for you to leave and not come back. They'd never say that. Why? Well, because they want to be like Jesse Duplantis and have $60 million. They won't hurt anybody's feelings. Love gospel, coach. After all, God is love. Yeah, but love protects. Where is that? Find out for me, Spencer, real quickly. Is that the 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter? And if you don't like something he says, you can threaten to leave. And then he'll back down. 1 Corinthians 13, Spence. Keep going. If I have not love, have not love, have not love. Love suffers long. It's kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't puff itself up. Love doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love doesn't seek its own way. Love's not easily provoked. Love doesn't think or prove evil. Love doesn't rejoice over sin, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, it shall vanish away. What? Yeah. Love confronts folks. Love is the embodiment of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is love. Jesus Christ is truth. When you speak the truth, you speak Jesus, regardless of whose feelings get hurt. Jeff.
Coach, you know what? What's the enemy do? They tell lies.
Well, that's all they do.
Just keep repeating lies.
Accusations.
So why shouldn't we keep repeating truth? That's what you're doing, is just repeating the truth.
Yeah.
Mr. Matt.
I'm going to tell you this. Those people, I wasn't there. Jeff Nares could maybe tell us more. Those people showed up at that meeting, or Jeff, when you show up at meetings and school board meetings, and you spend the last thing you look, folks, the last thing I worried about when I speak in front of a school board is whether they like me or not, or whether I appear hateful to them. That's the least of my concerns. They're clearly doing wicked things. Why would I say I don't want to offend you? Dude, you're offending me every day. You're teaching doctrines of demons to the children in here with my tax dollars. Boom. What would you do if you went to a steak thing, you went to a steak shop, and you ordered a steak for $58.25, and they bring you a bologna sandwich? Would you say, I'm not going to judge. Who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? That would be offense. I'm not going to say that, coach. Maybe they like bologna.
Well, Pastor Mount's been hammering the people in the church building. It's just some of the things you've been saying. And he shared with me the other day, and I got to stand up and tell him, you know, I don't care if you people don't like Donald Trump or not, but you can't vote for baby killers and the ones that love the homos. It's like, and he loved it. He told me afterwards, he said, JC, I heard a pastor say one time years ago, he said, pastors don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. I said, I'm going to share that one with Coach.
Yeah, sheep make sheep. Right. That's right. That's right. Huh? I can't look. Friends, we are. Here's one of the notes I made today. Do you know that right now they're planning for a mass casualty event? Right now they're planning for a mass casualty event. Throw that up there, Spence, just so they don't think I'm nuts. It's number 5. The government's preparing for a mass casualty event. Is that it? That shouldn't be it. Oh, don't there. Lawmakers prepare for mass casualty event. I wonder if that's going to come around the election. Why? No, wait a minute. If they knew that Kamala was going to be elected, would they be having a mass casualty event? If they knew she was going to win, would they try to do away with the election? No, Coach, that doesn't make sense, does it? Well, why are they trying to do a mass casualty event? Why are they trying to do away with the election? Oh, because they don't want Trump in. Coach, I can't vote for him. He's part of it. He's part of it. Easy, criminal. He may be. He may be a Mason. He may be a Mason. He may be. He may be part. I don't know. But I sure know where that other guy's lined up. I sure know where that other girl's lined up. And if I had to choose a steak or a hamburger, I know what I'm choosing. Say, yeah, but I don't like steak. Well, yeah, but I get you. It's unbelievable. Come on, somebody come in here. I'm running out. I only got 9 minutes.
Hey, Coach, I'll tap in here live from the road. I love everything you do, and thank you for sharing the truth in the locker room every single day.
That's right.
And we know, for those who are wise enough, we know Lucifer's agenda. It sprints when there's a Democrat president. It walks when there's a Republican. But their agenda, because it's not Christ-centered, moves on no matter what.
Amen.
So
this is for everybody out there, of the two candidates, I'm not asking you which one you think is most Christian. Okay, I'm not going to ask you that. Which one of the two candidates is most Christ-friendly?
Donald Trump. You can't deny that. And a head coach is a head coach.
Hang on, Brett. Did Donald Trump's Department of Defense go around and lock up men? Did he do that? Did he go out and lock? No, he didn't do that. Is Merrick Garland locking up Christians? Yeah, all across America, yes. Yeah, sure is. Sure is. Go ahead, Brett.
No, you don't cut me off. You're the head coach. And in this precious locker room, a lot of us are consistent. And there are some real men and real warrior women on your team.
Yes, sir.
And it's everybody can't be the quarterback, linebacker, tight end, punter, but we all can do our own job. I am so thankful for Scripture First and the great work that you do. And we need to keep pushing that agenda forward, no matter who the president is. Read Scripture on your own and plug into CoachDaveLive.com, and everything else can fall in line after that. Amen. See you soon, Coach.
Amen.
Amen, hey, bro.
Pull up number two real quick. Jack, I'll get you. Trent, I'll get you. I promise you. Pull up number two. Pull up number two. Hey, does anybody remember? I'm just curious here. Does anybody remember anybody trying to kill Obama? Anybody remember that? No? Anybody remember anybody trying to kill Biden? No? Number one, I'm sorry. Pull up number one. Pull up number one. No, that isn't it, is it? No, that's not it. What's number one on my sheet? Okay, yes, go ahead. Play it. Play it. Number one. Play it at, 1.5 speed. That little girl there.
All roads to the Trump assassinations lead to one thing alone. So we see some similarities between the shooters. Both were donors to Act Blue, a PAC for the Democrat Party. Both managed to get within 500 yards of Trump. Both attempts were followed by the mainstream media, kind of oddly downplaying the severity of the situations. And most importantly, Crooks was in a 2023 BlackRock commercial, and Ralph was in a 2022 commercial for the Ukrainian militia that had been trained by the American CIA for the past decade and is funded by BlackRock. Here's the explanation. So for context, Ryan Routh was a construction worker in North Carolina that moved to Hawaii, has a house and a business there that wasn't making any money, so he was listed as unemployed. But he really cared about standing for Ukraine, so this former construction worker with no income, operating entirely alone, ran a website offering Americans $1,200 a month to fight for Ukraine, was illegally moving Afghani soldiers fleeing from the Taliban in Pakistan and Iran to fight for Ukraine, dropped everything for months at a time to fly himself to Ukraine, and flew to D.C. to lobby for Congress to recruit soldiers for Ukraine. He also has about 100 criminal filings, including a 2002 arrest for possessing a weapon of mass destruction, as most construction workers do, and he obviously still has weapons, and not only is he still allowed to vote, but to vote in North Carolina as recently as this year, even though he's a resident of Hawaii. And like most construction workers, he had a hunch where Trump would be on a Sunday afternoon and was waiting at the golf course for 12 hours ahead of time, even though Trump's schedule was off the record. The most probable explanation is tied to BlackRock. So in 2022, Routh was in a commercial that advertised the Yazov Battalion, which is a Ukrainian neo-Nazi militia trained by the CIA and funded by BlackRock. So what links Ukraine, the CIA, and BlackRock? Well, ever since the Cuban Missile Crisis, the dissolution of the Russian Empire has been an American priority because they have nukes aimed at us. Now, BlackRock essentially owns the U.S. government, considering the top economic advisors for the Biden-Harris admin come from BlackRock. BlackRock wants the oil and rare metals in eastern Ukraine because it owns companies that sell oil and rare metals. So last year, BlackRock paid Ukraine $500 billion in exchange for all of Ukraine's main assets and put Ukraine in permanent debt to BlackRock. And since BlackRock owns our government, our CIA is BlackRock's personal military. And troubled souls like Routh and Crooks are groomed to be useful pawns that exist to look like random eccentric people and take the sole blame for carefully crafted crimes like attempting to extinguish the primary threat to the mega monopoly that not only runs our government, but the world. Hence, after Crooks died and was supposed to be examined by the House Task Force, the FBI took the body and cremated it in secret. Not only law enforcement knew until 13 days after. Nobody sat his parents down and asked them why their kid had bombs or how he got the money for this, and they never will. The crime scene was scrubbed. So if it wasn't obvious before, it should be obvious now that your government, the CIA, the FBI, the Secret Service are a unit. Not because they're all buddies and love each other, but because they're owned by the same people. So anyone that threatens them, regardless of party affiliation, is a target. So no wonder for years people have said Trump would be assassinated, and no wonder they refuse to give Secret Service protection to a Kennedy. This is the mega monopoly versus the people, and always has been. But thanks to private media, we know that now, so the attempt to shut down any resistance is going to be stronger than ever. This is the totalitarians versus we the people. So fight.
Evil walks on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. Trent, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. They cannot kill us. You know, the gates of hell will not prevail against Jesus Christ and his church. You know, Amen. That's the blessing about it. That's the grassroots. But we cannot give an inch on the opposite side of truth. We have to stand in front of the line.
That's well. And listen, if you're a pastor and you jump into the culture war with both feet, they're going to lock you up. Can you say Cal Zastro? Can you say Chet Gallagher? Can you say Omi Edel? Can you say Bill Dunphy? Can the list go on? Can you say Isaac? Can you go on and on and on? Wake up and understand what's going on. Do you see what's going on?
Amen.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal, but mighty to taking them on and pulling them down. But the church, I say that, I'll be in trouble again. We've met the enemy, and it's us. It's us. I was talking to Jeff Nares about what just went down in Lancaster, people showing up at the city council meeting. I said, how many pastors, Jeff? And he said he thought maybe there were four. He thinks there were four. Not really, no. Four. Four. Jeff, come on in.
Yeah, the one thing about the city council meetings is they're very strict on you addressing the city council members only. You are not allowed to address the audience.
No free speech.
No.
Get that, folks? Oh, my, oh, my. Jack, quickly.
We just have an extremely shallow strategy. We don't have a real strategy. We should be planning on what we're going to do after Trump wins. Mm-hmm. We do not have a strategy. We have a reactionary position. And Amen. We're so shallow. We don't even know how a system works. But we're learning thanks to a lot of the people right in here.
Amen. Hey, folks, It's coming down. This Puff Daddy thing is going to be so huge, you're not going to believe the names that are going to be exposed if they expose them. That's why we live in very dangerous times. See you tomorrow.